Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
How did Paul do the things that he did? How did a man who was full of weakness and fear and trembling even, and as he said in the one place, how did he do stuff? He learned the secret that God doesn't work through my strength, my ability, my everything. He works through my weakness. When I lay it out and give it to him, he comes on and he gives me strength that I don't possess. But I've got to go after it. I can't just push a button and say, okay, that's how it works, I'm good. Every day, every situation, everything should drive us on our knees to our Heavenly Father. Praise God. All right, so there's a source for everything. I don't care what the need is in your life right now. Whether you need a Savior, you need to come to know Him, or whether you've known Him for years and you're struggling with areas of besetting sin, you know the expression. God wants to give us fresh victories, fresh experiences of His presence and His power so we can actually move on instead of just keep breathing. I want to get past just keep breathing, don't you? Well, the Lord does too. He's the one who told us all this. And like somebody said this morning, he doesn't dangle stuff and then say, ha ha, you know, I just fooling. Or you don't deserve this, so I'm just teasing you a little bit. God doesn't tease us. He tells us the truth about our need, but oh, what a perfect answer he has. And his name is Jesus. Praise God. I'll tell you, when he comes in to live and gives us that new life, we have everything we need, but don't we need every single day to lay hold of that? There's an eternal life. It's forever. It's a life I wasn't born with. I didn't get it from Adam. But I need that life every single day. Yes. And if I will learn how to say, Lord, I need you. I need you every hour. Every hour I need thee, the old hymn. And this is what God was trying to say through Paul and others. Everything we need to live a godly life, or a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness, certainly not by mine, through these, all right, He has given us His very great and precious promises. So the whole thing is not based upon anything that I can do. It's not based on His commands to come up with something. It's based on His promises of what He's willing to do if I'm only willing for Him to do it. Do I really want Him to do all these wonderful things in me, or am I just kind of content? Or am I willing to just yield to the pressures of the moment, to my own history of failure, to all that's happened in my life? Am I just going to allow that to be my prisoner? Or to be a prisoner of that. Don't mind me if I stumble over my words. Praise God. Just don't get old. Or older anyway. By His own glory, through these He has given us very great and precious promises. Why? So that through them you may participate in the divine nature. How in the world could a sinner like me actually participate in that kind of a nature that's perfect and pure and holy? How could somebody like me actually have that? Oh man, I need a Savior who's willing to cleanse me completely, to take away every stain that sin could ever put in here. All that we've sung about this morning. Thank God for the cross. Thank God we have a place we can go in faith, because God did it. I didn't go seeking that. He came seeking me. Why should He do such a, why should He love me so, like the old hymn? Praise God. Precious promises, so that I could actually share in the divine nature. That's God's plan for every single... That's what the Christian life is meant to be about. God deliver us from reducing it to a religion, to practice thinking, I'm okay because I don't do the bad stuff that so-and-so does. You know, the fact is, I don't care. I mean, I was born in a preacher's home, and I didn't grow up going way out and doing crazy stuff. I'm just as much a sinner, just as much in need of a Savior as the worst serial killer sitting on death row in any prison, any place in the world. I was born with the same nature. I could no more fit into heaven than they could, unless His grace and mercy reached out to somebody like me. Praise God. So the answer to the question, did He do enough? Oh, yeah. But the other thing, okay, yeah, He did enough, but not for you. You're not included. God so loved the world, and He gave His one and only Son that, what's the next word? Whosoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Scripture is so full of Him, of Jesus, things like Jesus saying, I didn't come to call the righteous. Obviously, He's talking about people who thought they were righteous, and they really weren't. But I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. And you look at His life and the people that He reached out to with love and mercy that nobody else in ordinary society would have touched. And yet He reached them, didn't He? I'll tell you, I thought of one Scripture that obviously you could dwell on any one of these, but what about Romans 8? So many Scriptures there, but all about how He works in everything, and His purpose in bringing us to salvation is to change us so that we'd be more like Him. And then He's already promised to finish the work. We're glorified. But then what He says, what He begins with this other passage in verse 31. Listen to what it says. What then shall we say in response to these things? So now Paul has enumerated all the glorious things, the purpose of God, His ability to finish what He started. So what are we going to say to this, basically? If God is for us, who can be against us? Praise God. Praise God. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us. How many? All kind of takes in everybody, doesn't it? He's the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe, because there are those who refuse to believe. But there is nobody that Jesus went to the cross for and said, oh, I'm here for everybody but you. God, help us to answer the devil with the Word of God when he says, not you, you've messed up, you've gone too far, you're this, you're that. This is for everybody else, but you got this own your own special needs, and I'll tell you, we're all special needs when it comes to the kingdom of God. We're different, and yet we're all the same. And there's no need that in your life that's different, that's so different that God can't do what it takes. But I was thinking about the fact that God told Timothy through Paul to fight the good fight of the faith, to lay hold. And then we find out that it's through his promises. So the Christian life is not a push button, okay, I accept it, it's done, I've got everything. It's a life where I'm going to have to keep going and receiving and seeking and looking to him and getting what I need day by day by day by day by day. And we have somebody who is more than willing to do that. The problem is, do we do that? You see, we've got a part to play in this. And we have one picture, many pictures in the Old Testament that are unlocked in the New. But one of them was the fact that there was a promised land, wasn't there? It was given to a people. And when Joshua was getting ready to take them in, it's interesting, in most of the translations that are out there, they rightly say, every place where you tread, you put your foot, what? I have given you. There was a promise. They weren't going in there thinking, oh yeah, we're just a people who need a place. We're going to go get it. This was something God had promised. So they were operating on divine promise. Folks, we need that, don't we? One of the biggest things that we need to learn how to do in living out this life is to seek God and to know what He wants, to know what His promise is so that we can stand on solid ground. I don't want to just think I can use God to become a billionaire or some earthly goal. But there is truth in what we've heard so many times. We have not. Why? Because we ask not. And so in order for Israel to actually take possession of what God had given them, they had to do some fighting, didn't they? And over and over and over, the word of God was, don't be afraid, I'm with you. I would say very clearly today, that's God's word to you and me. Whatever it is that's rising up to say, you're not and you can't be, we need to rise up and say, God has promised and I believe Him and I'm not afraid of you, devil. You can throw that spirit of fear at me all you want to, but I serve one who has defeated you at the cross. That's the one I trust. And I'm going to stand fast believing His promise. You know, we had a service a while back where it was, I'm trying to remember the actual name. I don't remember the name of the service, but the substance of it was prayers that God always answers. And basically, it rested on the idea that we have a whole lot of scripture that tells us what God wants from us. He says, I want you to be this, I want you to do that. And how in the world is it that we just don't quite believe that when it comes to actual day-to-day living? Can we not go to Him and ask Him for things He's already told us belong to us? You know, we use the expression seeking the Lord. Seeking is not just a wish, a passive wish. This is an active. You know, if you've lost something, what do? You go look for it. There's an action component of seeking. Seeking is going to the source. It's an action we take to get something we don't have and doing whatever it takes to get that. And God wants us to have a position where we look to Him, we seek Him, we ask Him. But we ask Him believing that He is willing to do what He said He's going to do. And I wonder how many times that's the place where we stop short. Am I the only one that's ever done that? God wants to break in upon us in ways that He hasn't. Anybody believe that?
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.